It's 63 degrees on WEOL.
Again, the wind by Perez, the payoff pitch. Swung on, a shot to left. Base hit down the line. It'll go to the wall. Stamets scores. Ramirez scores. Here comes Bowers to score. And a bases-loaded clearing double by Carlos Santana. And the Indians trail it 8-3 on a two-out, three-run rocket down the left field line by Santana. He has a four-hit game. He has his first extra base hit of the season, and he has his first RBIs of the campaign.
All right, this is just a random. That was just me randomly picking a. Bob, I apologize to pick a highlight in which we were still trailing 8-3, but I just wanted to get some sort of Tom Hamilton call out there as we are getting ready for Indians baseball. We are joined this morning by Bob DiBiasio of the Indians, brought to you on WEOL by your North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco, Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Bob, how are you today?
Boys, I'll tell you, it's a beautiful day. We're working hard to make sure that our boys are safe and healthy and in a wonderful, positive environment so that we can play these 60 games. They'll all get to Progressive Field by July 1st. Many of them are already here. And, it's been a strange time, obviously, for all of us. Those of us in the game of baseball, our body clocks are way off, and we're just happy that we're going to see a wild 60-game schedule. You know, we've always talked about how baseball's a marathon, not a sprint, right? Well, this 2020 season of ours is going to be a sprint, not a marathon. So it's going to bring some intriguing baseball for sure.
Bob, let's talk about the body clock. These guys have had a long layoff. Are they ready to go?
I think they are. They've all worked out throughout this work-at-home environment. Many of them have, especially the pitchers, have found places to go to throw off a mound and keep their arms strong. As a matter of fact, every one of our coaching staff, our trainers, have been in touch with every player as they individually have continued to work out. For example, a guy like Mike Clevenger will throw a session at some sandlot high school college field and find the catcher and he'll videotape it either off his phone or iPad and he'll send that to Carl Willis, our pitching coach, and then they'll sit and talk about it. That's been happening with all of our athletes, whether pitcher, guy, a hitter in a batting cage somewhere. So they've stayed sharp, and I think they'll be ready in a 3 week. Not so sure I can embrace the phrase summer camp that's running around. I would prefer spring training 2 as the name for what's happening here from July 1 until July 23rd or 4th when the first game is going to be played.
You know, summer camp, there's too many shenanigans going on at summer camp. That's what I think. Give them some fun times a little bit to get going as they get ready for this. So what has this done to our minor league system at all? How does that play in? We talk about the major leaguers, and they have different ways of going about it. What's happening with all those folks that were part of our AA, AAA, single A?
Yeah, that's the tougher one. Don't know if we'll see them in action this year. We have a satellite camp over at Lake County Captains. Will play host to our satellite camp, and that camp will feature most of our top prospects, and just to give them some additional development time. It'll be interesting which one of those, if any, make the travel, or the taxi squad, I should say, in case we have injury or such. Yeah, it's really a difficult year for the minor league players for just not getting another year of development under their belt.
Talking to Bob DiBiase of the Cleveland Indians, what is not your sort of your role, but you know yours? We always talk with you about getting the fans out, you know, getting the tickets, all the promotions, things like that. What's the fan interaction going to be like during these 60 games? What's been the talk or the thoughts of, you know, engaging with the fans a little more maybe than is possible since they can't be at the ballparks?
Obviously, our number one priority is the health and safety of our players and staff that will be at Progressive Field. Number two is obviously constructing a baseball team that is championship caliber. And the third item on that list is we're trying to figure that out. We're trying to, every day we all talk, and first and foremost, you know, what is the state government going to allow us to do at Progressive Field? Are we going to be allowed to have people congregate in the kind of numbers that might be able to come? And whether that's, you know, 1,000, 3,000, 10,000, you know, and we have to work in accordance with whatever state laws are in place. So that's number one. Number two is if there is a state law that ends up providing us the ability to have some fans at Progressive Field, yeah, that's what we're discussing again daily. A lot of Zoom calls, a lot of conference calls, because we're all still working from home, not at Progressive Field in our offices. And so, you know, doing a lot of brainstorming is how can we have the fans connect with our players either through the radio broadcast, TV broadcast, if they can't actually be in the ballpark. And then once they're in and it's only a certain number, you know, how do we go about doing that? So that's going to be an interesting one. And we have 3 weeks or more. I don't see fans being allowed in the ballpark initially, but you never know. But I highly doubt that. I think we need to have our, you know, get through the first steps of making sure all the protocols are in place. I don't know if you guys are aware, but there was a 76-page protocol document created that turned into a 106-page document on the health and safety of the players and staff. And so I think our goal is to make sure that, you know, we have every bit of that 106-page document executed properly.
How many pages in that document?
106. Yeah, it talks about everything. You know, this is going to go back, you know, it could go back to the old days when we played at League Park and the players actually wore their uniforms on the trolley car going down Lexington Avenue. You know, those who know League Park's at E66th and Lexington Avenue, the great Baseball Heritage Museum is there now. If you ever want to think about taking a little road trip, go to the Baseball Heritage website first, though, before you head there to make sure it's open. But the old-time players, yeah, they used to wear their uniforms on the trolley car and instead of changing in a locker room.
Bob, that's just like you and I getting on our Schwinn bicycle to head to the game when we had to. And your mom says, "You got your base, you got your glove, you got your hat." Try to ride.
Exactly
with the,
right.
Try to ride.
You know, got to be flexible in this scenario in which we are living today. And we have to be smart. We have to be flexible, and you know, we're going to work hard to make sure that all of that is in play. But yeah, it's, you know, uncharted territories for sure, boys.
You know, Bob, we haven't read the document, of course, but we heard, we don't know if this is true, so we thought we'd check in with you. Is it true that pitchers will not be able to sort of like lick their fingers or, you know, get them a little bit wet to get a better grip on the ball?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen that one, but there's some truth to you know, what a player can do going to their face and spitting and no seeds. Can you imagine a baseball player not eating seeds or any of that? So that's how detailed that 106-page document is. So it's going to be awfully hard for a pitcher who's standing on the mound. They're rubbing the ball, fixing their hat, getting the ball into the glove to get the right grip, going to their tongue with their two fingers. That's just natural for them. It's going to be so hard to really work through those issues. And again, uncharted territory.
Bob, if they can get baseball players to stop spitting, world peace is possible. So at least it's a positive. We could do that. Bob, we appreciate your time. We'll talk again next week and as we get closer to the beginning of this shortened season. Appreciate your time this morning, Bob.
Well, thank you, guys. Go Tribe.
Bob DiBiase of the Cleveland Indians here on WEOL, talking Tribe with us, brought to you by your North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco.
Smoke and Steve is making this weekend red, white, and delicious. Stop out Sunday for a patriotic chicken and rib burn-off at your North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco. Take home Smoke and Steve's ribs, barbecue chicken, and whole, half, or combo dinners, complete with potato or macaroni salad, rolls, and coleslaw. Stop out Sunday starting at noon for Smoke and Steve's Chicken and Rib Burn-Off at your locally owned and operated North Ridgeville Convenience in Oco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads.